Good morning. We are all spread out this morning. This is our final week of the series Greater, or Jesus is Greater. We've been talking on this series, talking about how much Jesus is greater than. And can I just say this? I have just picked a few areas, but can I just tell you that Jesus is greater than anything? Amen? I truly believe that Jesus is far greater than anything that we could ever imagine. He's greater than our dreams. He's greater than our hopes. He's greater than our desires. He's greater than our problems. He's greater than our anxieties. He's greater than any possible thing that we could ever imagine. He is so much greater than those things. And today is no different. We're going to talk about relationships today. And I know we talk a lot about relationships. The truth is, we are people, right? And we all have relationships. We all have people that we deal with on a regular basis. We all have people that we talk to, people that we commune with, people that we can relate to, people we can't relate to that we are dealing with. And these are all dealing with relationships, and it's all something that we have come in contact with. Sometimes we get along with people, and sometimes we don't get along with people, right? Sometimes you have family get-togethers and you regret getting together, and sometimes you have family get-togethers and you're looking forward to getting together with them, right? I mean, it just all depends. Sometimes you have family reunions and you love those family reunions because it's a time that you can get together, and there are other times that you're like, man, I just don't really want to go this year. Huh. Does anybody relate to that? Anybody enjoy being with your family? And some of you just don't want to be with your family, right? I mean, we all experience that, and we all go through that. But think about relationships that you have right now. You have a relationship maybe with a parent. You have a relationship with a spouse. You have a relationship with a child. You have a relationship with a coworker. You have a relationship with a boss or an employee. And all of us, we all have relationships that we work with and deal with every single day. And so relationships during Paul's day were no different. They all had relationships, right? They all talked to people. They all, you know, had family. They had, it may have looked a little different than what it looks like for us today, but they all had relationships, and they had to learn how to deal with those relationships. And of course, women, children, and slaves were to submit to the head of the family. Slaves submitted until they were freed. The male children were to submit until they grew up, and women and girls for their whole lives. And so Paul says, even in Galatians, he emphasized the equality of all believers in Christ. He said in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. However, the Roman society had some rules. And Paul wasn't about to suggest overthrowing the Roman society. He wasn't about that to achieve what he was trying to have us talk about. But he did counsel all believers to submit to authority by choice. And he gave rules for three sets of household relationships. And we're going to look at those today. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Colossians. I'm at the end of Colossians chapter 3. We're going to wrap this series up. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. And he says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, there's that word again, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Now go to 4. chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. You know, Paul's mentioning three sets of relationships here. He mentions the husband-wife relationship. He mentions the child and parent relationship. And he mentions what they were talking about there was a servant-master relationship. Or if you want to look at it in today's terms, an employee-employer term would be about the closest that we could get to what he was referring to. But we're going to take a look and break down each one of these this morning. The first one I want to look at is husbands and wives. And there was a lecture taking place at a woman's club, and the speaker was talking about marriage. And she asked the audience, how many of you want to mother your husbands? And one of the ladies in the very back row, she raised her hand, and the speaker asked to clarify, you do want to mother your husband? The woman that raised her hand said, mother? I thought you said smother. Yeah. And I'm sure if we were to poll an audience, we would find that many times you ladies want to smother your husbands, but you can't, right? Because it's illegal. But Paul tells wives to submit to their husbands, and he adds, as is fitting to the Lord. But he does it in there. In verse 19, he says, so here's what he says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. And then husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Can I just say that real spiritual leadership in the home involves service? It does. Our greatest example of being a servant is Jesus. Amen? Jesus served the disciples even to the point of washing their feet. So the husband is to serve his wife. And this means putting aside his own interest in order to care for his wife. And if you are a wise man and a Christ-honoring husband, you will not abuse your leadership role. Now, let me say this. If you are a wise woman and a Christ-honoring wife, you will not try to undermine your husband's leadership. There must be a mutual love and respect. And can I just tell you that the roles have been this way since the beginning of time? Since the beginning, roles have been this way. God orchestrated the husband and wife union back in Genesis. We can read about it. And he created man first as the leader of the household to provide care and leadership to the woman and the family. And then he created woman to be the helpmate of the man. But man and woman, they abandoned their God-given roles in the Garden of Eden. Eve, she acted independently of her husband and she ate the forbidden fruit. Adam, he neglected his responsibility of leadership under God and he consented to Eve's disobedience. Think about it. And as a result, he too disobeyed God and he brought sin and death into the human race. Now, each of us has an important role to play and we are to be the person that God has called us to be. The union was formed in the beginning and we are to continue to live accordingly. Amen? It has been this way from the very, 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 very beginning. There was a union created. The second relationship Paul addresses is parents and children. And just like the first relationship that we talked about, this relationship has been here since the beginning of time. If you have children, you want the best for them, don't you? Right? And if you don't have kids, then other people's children can get on your nerves sometimes. Amen? And we love children, and they are a blessing from God. And Paul speaks to the relationships here in verse 20. He says this, children, obey your parents in what? Everything, right? for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. You know, as children, when we obey our parents, we are understanding the authority that God has given our parents, and that can carry over into understanding God's authority. We begin as young children, we start understanding that when mom and dad say no, or when mom and dad say something, you are learning to obey their authority, and you are understanding their authority that is over you. In same way, God being our spiritual Father, being our heavenly Father, a Father of every person upon this earth that loves us and cares for us, just as we understand and love and respect our parents' authority, we understand and we respect the authority that God is over us, and that He is our heavenly Father. And we are responsible to obey Him. Just how many of you, if you tell your kids to do something, you want them to do it, right? Go clean your room. Do you expect them to clean their room? Yes. Go take out the trash. When you tell them to go take out the trash, do you expect them to go take out the trash? Yes. And if they don't do it, what happens? There's consequences, right? If you don't want to take out the trash, then we can find 3 or 4 other chores for you to do on top of just taking out the trash. It's up to you. Can I just tell you that our Heavenly Father that loves us so much and cares for us so much that He didn't give us a book of just rules just to be mean? Just like you don't give your kids things to do just to be mean to them. He loves us and He cares for us. He is our Father. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. And He says, if you will live according to my word, then all these things will be laid out. Think about it. The same thing goes. We love our kids. We give them rules. We tell them things to do, things to not do. Why? Because we don't want them to be harmed. We don't want bad things to happen to them. We want them to learn how to be a fully functioning adult in this society. Amen? That's what I tell my kids all the time. I said, my goal as a parent is to make you become a fully functioning adult so that you can go out and live on your own someday. That's the whole reason why I have you do this, and why I have you do this, and why I have you do this. And not just sit around and play on your phone or watch TV or all this. We've got to have responsibilities. We've got to be able to do some things. God gives us things to do so that we have responsibilities, so that we understand how to live and function in this life. There's a reason why God tells us not to do certain things. Because He knows what's best for us. Why? Because He created us. You ever put something together like, you know, maybe you like Legos. Have you ever liked Legos, or you like some Erector sets or some kind of, and you put this thing together and you put it together so that it'll function a certain way, right? You create this item so that it'll function a certain way, and you know how it'll function, and you can't move it outside of that area because it won't function any other way than the way you created it, right? Can I tell you that God created us to function a certain way? God created us so that we could function within the bounds of what He's telling us. And if we don't function within those bounds, guess what? It doesn't work that way. We fail miserably. We are hurt. We are injured. It causes harm to our bodies, right? We want to be pleasing to God just like we want our children to be pleasing to us. And so let me tell you, we cannot belittle our children. We cannot look down upon them. It can cause them to have problems, and they can just quit trying because we're just on them all the time. But we discipline our children in hopes of them growing up, right? God disciplines us in hopes of us growing up. And as parents, we do not want to provoke our children to anger or discouragement. Let me ask this. Does anybody here think parenting is easy? Anybody? Oh, man, that's a breeze. I don't. But we are to discipline in a Christ-like manner, just as God disciplines His people. Amen? We have the best example of a parent in the world. Amen? And that's God. God the Father, He loves us. And the third relationship that this is talking about is an employee-employer relationship, master and servant relationship. And during Paul's days, slaves had a variety of tasks. They would run errands, they'd care for the children, they would clean, they'd prepare meals, they would do odd jobs, basically whatever anybody else didn't want to do. But Paul gave their jobs a new dignity because these slaves would do their work for the Lord, serving Jesus Christ. Slaves had very little opportunity to get out of slavery, and they would receive very little, if any, compensation for what they would do. They had no inheritance in this world, and so Paul would remind them they would ultimately be rewarded by Christ with their eternal reward. Now, in some ways, like I said, you look at this relationship as the same, through the same lens as an employee-employer. And Paul tells us how we should handle this relationship in verse 23. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Can I tell you, we talked about this word last week. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail this week. You can go listen to the sermon last week. But that word "whatever," again, whatever means everything, right? Everything that you do, whatever you do, everything. And Paul says, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So when you go to work, and you're working for the man, and your boss is on you for something you did or didn't do, remember, you are only working for them on this earth, but you have a much greater mission, and that is working for the Lord. Amen? So you need to make sure that you are the best employee that your company has ever seen. Now, as Christians, we should be the best at everything that we do. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, when the job that you're doing, that you know, you're doing the best you can do, okay? And you should try and strive to be the best at that job. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to win competitions at your job necessarily, but you're working to be the best that you can possibly be. You're working to make sure everybody understands that you are trying really hard. You're doing the work. You're trying to be the most honest. You're trying to be the first to work and the last to leave, right? Mm-hmm. Can I tell you this? Our employer should never have any problems with us. We shouldn't lie, cheat, or steal to get to the top. We should let our work speak for itself. You know, when I worked for a company that I worked for before coming here, we would have sales contests. They would have competitions. And if you were the top salesman in the company, you could win prizes, bonuses. You would receive recognition and all kinds of things for incentives. And we had these salesmen. I mean, they were the top. We had one guy. He was the top at every time there was a competition, he was always the top. That's all he lived for, was he wanted to be the top. He wanted everybody to see him at the top. He would figure out ways that he could cheat the system. He'd figure out, well, what's the least amount I got to do to get to the top? What is it I've got to tell people so that they will buy the right product so that I can sell the most items so that I can be the top salesman? And they would take all the shortcuts. He would do everything he could to try to maximize and to be at the top. And he would use the system to his advantage, and he would technically cheat in order to win the contest. And guess what? There were several that started figuring it out, and they'd start thinking, well, man, we all can do this. We can all start. So they all started doing. You know what happened? They all lost their jobs. You know why? Because, yeah, even though their name was in lights for a few months, eventually the company would catch on, more systems getting put in place, and eventually they figured out these guys are cheating, and they got fired. And they no longer had a job. Can I tell you, as believers, we need to work with integrity. We need to be honest, and we need to be trustworthy in everything we do. We need to do our best, and if the job isn't working out for you, then go to God in prayer and ask where He would want you to go. God has you in your place of employment for a reason, and you need to make the most of it, and sometimes things don't work out. So if you get fired or you leave on your own, then leave with honor. Amen? Don't badmouth the company or run your co-workers down. But if you are falsely accused of something, I promise God will take care of you. And that brings me to the last verse. The last verse of our text, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." Now, I want you to see a theme here, okay? There's been a theme through our text. Go to verse 18 again of chapter 3. "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord." When Paul is giving instructions to wives, he concludes with, "as is fitting in the Lord," okay? And then in verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for what? This pleases the Lord." So when Paul is speaking to children, he says, "for this pleases the Lord." He makes sure that they understand, that they know. And then in verse 23, he says, "whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as what? Working for the Lord, not for human masters." And then when he's talking to the servant, he says, "as working for the Lord." And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." You see, Paul tells the masters that they have a master in heaven. So in each group that he's talking to, he is bringing it to something. Each one of these relationships, they have a common factor amongst every relationship, and it's spoken of here in this passage. That common factor is Jesus. "Do it all as is done unto the Lord," right? "For this pleases the Lord." Do you see what I'm saying? There is a relationship there. It's a common relationship. It's a common factor for each one of these groups. And it's that we should be that Jesus should be at the center of every single relationship that we have. And there's going to be times that we're not going to get along with people. Right? There's going to be times when, man, I do not want that person around me today. I am not in the mood. You ever said that? I am just not in the mood for them today. And there are just sometimes that there are certain people that just get on your very last nerve. They've already burned all of them, and you just do not have time for them today. I know I'm not the only one to ever do this. Do you ever pull out your phone because it's vibrating or ringing and you look at it and you go, "Oh." Anybody? Am I the only one that does that? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You pull your phone out, the phone rings, you see who it is, and you're like, "I really don't want to talk to them." And sometimes you're tempted to hit. Yeah. But then what if it's important, right? What if this time, this one time, is the time that they really, really want something, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, because every one of you is laughing and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so you'll sometimes, "Okay, hello," you know. And of course, it's not anything important. It's just the same old garbage they're always laying on you. And you're just like, "Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. All right, well, I got to go." But there's going to be times that we can't stand each other and we don't want to be around each other. And there's going to be times that we will want that person to just go away and just leave us alone. And even here at the church, there's going to be times that someone will make you mad, or you will get upset, or you'll be mad at me, the preacher, because I didn't shake your hand. I'm sorry. And if that happens, the most important thing for you to remember is that Jesus is at the center of everything that we do. Amen? We are all humans. We are all going to make mistakes at some point or other. And we need to get better at serving one another. And we need to get better at making a difference in each other's lives. But as long as we can remember that Jesus is at the center of everything that we do, we can learn to adjust when things do not go the way that we want them to go. And we can learn to adjust. We can learn to get along better with one another and make Jesus first. And Jesus is greater in everything that you do. Amen? We need to make Jesus the center of everything. Every relationship you have, whether it's a relationship with your spouse, whether it's a relationship with your child, whether it's a relationship with a parent, or a relationship with a co-worker, or an employee, or an employer, or whoever it is, we need to place Jesus in the center of that relationship so that we can be able to move forward into who God wants us to be, and what God wants us to do, and what God wants us to say, and where God wants to go. And all that matters is that Jesus is in the center, because Jesus is greater than anything. Amen? Amen. I want us to do something this morning. I want to ask our worship team to come. We're going to end this just celebrating Jesus and how wonderful He is. I want us all to stand all over this place. We're going to sing a song this morning. And I want you to worship Him with everything that you got. Just lift up your voices, lift up your hearts, lift up your hands. But Jesus is greater than anything. Amen? He's greater than anything. We're going to sing this song. What a beautiful name it is. You know, I could have put many more options after that statement. I know I only gave you, this is our fifth week doing this. And we could have done this series till Jesus came. Because that's how awesome He is. Jesus is greater than everything. Just put whatever you want at the end of it. Jesus is greater than my problems. Jesus is greater than my needs. Jesus is greater than my family. Jesus is greater than, you can just name it and name it and name it forever and ever and ever, because He is. He's greater than anything. And this song talks about how beautiful Jesus is. And so I want you just to worship Him this morning with everything that you got. Let's worship. You